Has science disproven the Bible?
Have scientific discoveries made Adam and Eve a fable?
Or is Genesis an accurate account of how God created the universe? This is Bob Boyd.
And Jerry Boyd.
This is Issues in Education. Our guest is Dr. Kent Hovan, a science teacher who debates three evolution teachers. This is a very important debate because 90% of Christian students go to public schools and learn only one theory of origins, evolution.
Is evolution scientific or a religious philosophy?
Our guest is Dr. Kent Hovan, a science teacher for 15 years. Then Dr. Hovan began the Creation Science Evangelism Organization. Dr. Kent Hovan is considered by many to be one of the very best creation speakers in the country.
Dr. Kent Hovan was in a debate with three evolutionists who are professors at a university in Florida. We will play cuts from this interesting debate.
Evolution is a religion of death. If the Bible is true, then man brought death into the world. If evolution is true, death brought man into the world. These two views cannot possibly be more opposite. Somebody is wrong. And I enjoy showing them who they are, and that's why I'm here. Okay, now, the Bible says clearly that by one man, sin came into the world, and death by sin. The reason we have death and suffering today is because of man's disobedience to the Creator. The Bible says by man came death. We have suffering and death because of man's disobedience. The creation view says there was a flood about 4,400 years ago. Based on the idea that there was a universal flood, that the earth will have hundreds of layers of strata. Floods automatically do that. So you can get a jar of dirt, add some water to it, and shake it up and set it down, and in 20 seconds you'll have layers forming in your jar. There will be huge canyons and deltas showing evidence of rapid, massive erosion. There will be legends of this worldwide flood found in cultures all over the world. Biblical view of creation is certainly scientific. My contention is there is absolutely nothing scientific about the evolution theory. I like science. I taught high school science for 15 years. I love the study of science. I am not against science, but I'm against using lies to support a theory. The textbook says we have evidence of evolution. Okay, what kind of evidence do they give? This guy says evolution is fact, not theory. Birds arose from non-birds and humans from non-humans. No person who pretends to any understanding of the natural world can deny these facts. Well, it's okay to make a statement like that, but that's just a mantra. That doesn't make it true because he states it. Even if he states it loudly and forcefully, it doesn't make it true, okay? I think the evolution theory, as is currently taught in our textbooks, is totally unscientific. There's not a shred of evidence to back it up, and I simply resent paying for it. This textbook says, swirling in the waters of the oceans is a bubbling broth of complex chemicals. Progress from a complex chemical soup to a living organism is very slow. Sure is. It don't even happen. That's how slow it is. This guy said the first self-replicating systems must have emerged in this organic soup. So according to the evolution theory, 20 billion years ago, Big Bang, 4.6 billion years ago, the Earth cooled down. It rained on the rocks for millions of years and turned them into soup, and the soup came alive 3 billion years ago. So great-great-great-great-great-great-grandpa was soup. Okay? It's true there's a lot of dogs in the world, but they didn't come from a rock 3.4 billion years ago, whatever you want to say. Evolution is a dying religion surviving only on tax dollars. Evolution theory is positively anti-science. There's not a shred of real evidence to support any of the theories except oft-repeated lies. Let's define one more term in my last 30 seconds. Stupid. Lacking normal intelligence. Foolish. Silly. A stupid idea. Dull and boring. Evolution is not even a good theory. I think it is stupid. Thank you.
I am impressed. The only one who I've heard speak that quickly was Texas Auctioneer. But the earth was created 6,000 years ago in 6 days by God. I am confused. I'm sure you can tell me where God came from. And that once you've told me where God comes from, how you can figure that a spiritual force can have an impact on a material universe to create it. How many angels can dance on the tip of a pen?
The evolutionist's arguments for evolution consist of criticism of religion and especially the Bible.
Go ahead.
All right, your question, where did God come from, assumes that you're thinking of the wrong God, because the God of the Bible is not affected by time, space, or matter. If he's affected by time, space, or matter, he's not God. Because if there were matter but no space, where would you put it? If there were matter and space but no time, when would you put it? You cannot have time, space, or matter independently. They have to come into existence simultaneously. The Bible answers that in 10 words. In the beginning, there's time, God created the heaven, there's space, and the earth, There's matter. So you have time, space, matter, created a trinity of trinities there. Time is past, present, future. Space has length, width, height. Matter has solid, liquid, gas. You have a trinity of trinities created instantaneously. And the God who created them has to be outside of them. If he's limited by time, he's not God. The guy who created this computer is not in the computer. He's not running around in there changing the numbers on the screen, okay? The God who created this universe is outside of the universe. He's above it, beyond it, in it, through it. He's unaffected by it. The concept that a spiritual force cannot have any effect on a material body, you'd have to explain to me things like emotions and love and hatred and envy and jealousy and rationality. I mean, if your brain is just a random collection of chemicals that formed by chance over billions of years, how on earth can you trust your own reasoning processes and the thoughts that you think? Your question, where did God come from, is assuming a limited God. And that's your problem. The God that I worship is not limited by time, space, or matter. If I could fit the infinite God in my 3-pound brain, he would not be worth worshiping, that's for certain. So that's the God that I worship. Thank you.
You keep insisting that the God of the Bible in some way is responsible for all this. Even if you were to prove that there's some kind of spiritual force, it is not necessarily the God of the Bible. So I think there's a lot that has to do with lots of faith that has to be developed in there. You've got to come up with something a little bit more solid than just 80% of U.S. Americans are God believers and only 14% are not.
I think you need to stop and look at the theory that you are believing in, apparently, because there are so many thousands of unanswered questions. See, it's much easier for me to believe in the beginning God than to believe in the beginning dirt or matter. The evolutionist does not answer the question, if the Big Bang theory is true, then I would like to know what exploded and where did it come from and where did the energy come from and where did the space come from for the matter to expand into and where did the organization come from and where did the information come from? There's a whole host of questions that are a whole lot harder for you to answer than in the beginning God. This universe is not just random molecules circulating around. It carries information. Just like a book is so much more than ink on a paper, it carries information. The DNA is more than just chemicals. It's information. So the evolutionist never answers the question, where did this information come from? Where did the energy come from? Where did the matter itself come from? And you gripe about my belief, but you believe hundreds of things by faith. You don't even understand that you're believing by faith. You think matter is either eternal or can create itself. What's the two choices? How did matter get here? The world is here. Where did the matter come from? Matter doesn't create itself. And everything degrades over time. If it had a beginning, then what was before the beginning? I mean, there are so many thousands of things you take by faith. I say in the beginning, God. And you say, well, this matter somehow created itself. And then this matter somehow became alive. And then this first living thing learned how to reproduce. And then it learned how to make something other than its kind. I mean, even though nobody's ever seen that, nobody's ever seen a dog produce a non-dog. For heaven's sake, you believe they came from a rock. I mean, come on. I don't think my theory is that silly at all. So here's the major difference that I don't think you're going to understand. I admit mine is a religion. They do not admit theirs is a religion. They want you to think what they believe is science, and all of you should pay for their religion to be taught in this university. If you stood up in your classroom and said, I don't believe this evolution theory is true, I think it's pretty obvious there must have been a designer to this system, you would be an intellectual Siberia. You would lose your job. It has happened to hundreds of teachers, just simply for standing up and say, look, I think the evidence is here, folks. There must have been a designer. If I asked you to explain how computers came to be, but you cannot use man as your answer, I only want a purely naturalistic explanation for the origin of computers. Purely naturalistic. The answer has to lie within the computer. How did these molecules get together? How did this data get together? How did these plastic molecules come together in the different silicone chips? How did it happen? Your answer has to lie in the computer. I've already eliminated the only obvious answer to the problem by my definition. They're trying to eliminate the only logical answer to the question by their definition of science. They want to define science as things that we can observe and test and demonstrate in the natural world. Okay, well then that eliminates both evolution and creation. Both are unobserved. We don't see anything change. We don't see anything created from nothing. Here's the problem. Both creation and evolution are religious. I admit mine's a religion. They don't admit theirs is a religion. And all of us are paying for their religion to be taught in the school system. And I, for one, resent that. So my answer is still the same. God did it. Okay, my question for them. Does your textbook teach that the appendix is vestigial and is no longer needed, even though all doctors know the appendix is not vestigial? It has been proven to be part of the immune system. If your appendix is taken out, you can live, just like you can live without both your arms and both your eyes. It doesn't prove you don't need it. Does your textbook teach the kids that there are vestigial structures, and that is therefore evidence for evolution?
Yes, it does teach that there's vestigial structures. It doesn't teach that there's a God, though. Science works with self-correction. Religion, ultimately, I know I am right, and everybody else, of course, is wrong, except the one person who's looking at it.
Well, he said science is self-correcting. I agree. I happen to like science quite a bit. But see, the creation view doesn't have to be constantly corrected because it's right. Okay? I like the answer the one gentleman gave. He said, obviously, the computer is here because of man, because of intelligence. I mean, obviously, this took a designer. Well, duh. So did the universe. So did the single cell in your body. So did every living creature. I mean, you can't explain the computer inside the computer, can you? And you can't explain the creation inside the creation. There has to be something above, an intelligent designer. What you said, of course we don't see changes. Farmers have been raising dogs for, 4,000 years, and we don't see changes because it takes too long. If you don't see faith in there, I can't help you, okay? You are relying on the unseen. Oh yes, long ago and far away. Evolution has got to be the biggest fairy tale for adults ever created. Everything you said required faith. Well, we see dogs produce dogs, but if you give them billions of years, you just left science and went to religion and didn't even see it. You didn't even see what happened in your mind. And one of you teaches a course on logic. I mean, if this was a student of yours doing this, you'd give him an F. And yet your fellow professors believe it and you think it's great. They jump from faith to science back and forth all the time. Well, we see dogs produce dogs, but if we had enough time, stop. You're leaving science right that moment. So the National Center for Science Education is a little bitty storefront building in Berkeley, California. I was there 4 days ago. They teach that maybe the cow evolved into the whale. That's what their literature teaches. This textbook says the whale has a pelvis and a leg bone. Whales have hind limb bones that have no function. Just imagine the whale walking around. I'm sorry, I tried and I can't, okay? They say the whale's pelvis has no apparent function. The whale's pelvis is evidence of its evolution from four-legged land-dwelling mammals. This is simply a lie, okay? Those little bones are anchor points that special muscles attach to that allow the whales to reproduce. This has nothing to do with whales walking on land. It has to do with making baby whales. So either the authors of this textbook are ignorant about whale anatomy and certainly shouldn't be talking about it, or they're deliberately lying to you and desperate for evidence for their theory. Does your textbook teach the whale has a vestigial pelvis? If so, why would you use a biology book in your biology class at a famous university like this based on an author that doesn't even understand his basic anatomy of whales, and he's either lying to the students or he's ignorant? Why would you use something like that? And how could a vestigial structure be evidence for evolution when that's an example of losing, not gaining? It doesn't tell you how the whale got the legs. Oh, you're slowly losing them. Well, in the first place, it's not slowly losing them, okay? It's a lie. Secondly, even if it was, that's the opposite of evolution. How on earth can this be evidence for a theory? Yes, boys and girls, we're slowly losing things. That's how we got it all. Well, duh. So, my question is simple. Does your book teach there are vestigial structures, specifically the whale having a vestigial pelvis? If it does, why would you use a book like that in a university like this?
What I'm trying to say to you is when I teach my classes, evidence is what's important. I have no evidence that God exists. I have no evidence that there was a Noah's Ark. I have no evidence that there was an Adam and Eve. I have evidence that whales evolved from animals that live on land, and I can prove it. I happen to be keeping up with what's going on with the evolution of the whale. We have a very good set of bones from fossil records showing that the whales evolved through a long period of time from animals that were on land to animals that are in the water. We have that evidence.
And somehow this happened probably in the last time between 10 and 20 billion years ago, probably to the record of the Earth, which was maybe 4 to 6 billion years ago. And it does prove how science brings about to cause things to happen. But it's so complicated, it is so complicated that you can confuse the process by misinterpreting the results. But to start talking about chickens and dinosaurs, and I like eating chickens because chickens are descendants of dinosaurs, and every time I eat a chicken, it makes me happy. Because I think a lot of them ate our ancestors a long time before that, about 160 million years ago. So, we are subject to sink into confusion and to basically involve yourself into what becomes voodoo science. And that is very, very dangerous.
Go ahead.
He said, we have evidence of whales evolving from land animals. This is absolutely incorrect, okay? The evolutionary origin of whales remains controversial among zoologists, Compton's Encyclopedia a couple years ago. Pachycetus, pictured here, is made from one small piece of a skull, a small piece of jaw, and a few teeth. You find a piece of the skull, a few teeth, and a piece of the jaw, and that's proof it's intermediate between a whale and a cow? You have got to be kidding. I'm sure this is one of the ones in his fossil proof for evolution, and you're missing such a major point. I don't know if I can help if you can't get this, but no fossils count as evidence for evolution. In a court of law, they would laugh at you because you bring some bones in and say, Your Honor, this is the ancestor of whales. Well, first place, there's not enough to tell what it is. You don't know that that is the ancestor of anybody. You don't know that that animal had any kids that lived. It is absolutely impossible to use any fossils at all as evidence for evolution. And anybody that's telling you fossils are evidence for evolution, you talk about voodoo science, that is it, folks, okay? We know these bones produce something other than their kind. Even though no animal today can do this, these bones were able to do it. That's absolute voodoo science. That's a good word. I've got to use that one from now on. I appreciate that, okay? And if we could rewind the tape, we would hear you said many times, well, probably it happened. That proves evolution. You talk about voodoo science and absolute insanity and logic, and that doesn't offer any support for the evolution theory. He said, well, it's so complicated, and the implication that I get, because I get this all the time, and I'm here to tell people I resent everybody's tax dollars going to pay for this voodoo science of evolution to be taught in this university and other universities around the world. And just because evolution is mixed into a science book, that does not make evolution part of science. It's just mixed in the book, and I'm sorry about that. Okay, I'm trying to fix it. But he said it's so complicated, we don't want to confuse the people or something to that effect. What that's trying to imply is, they're smart, you're too dumb to understand, and anybody that doesn't believe in evolution is simply dumb. And if you just would study this for 100 hours like I have, then you'd believe like I do. And since you don't believe like I do, you haven't studied enough and you're dumb. And that is your evidence for evolution? You got to be kidding. All of the evidence of evolution from whales, first place, no fossils count. None. Think about it. No fossils can possibly count for evidence. And the fossils they find are little fragments here and there, and they are putting their imagination and interpretation on those fossils. Look, there is no such thing as a fossil record. How they teach that blows my mind. They say, well, in the fossil record, I say, well, what fossil record? There is no fossil record. There are a bunch of bones in the dirt. But those bones don't have dates on them. They don't come with a little tag saying this one evolved into this one. All you do is put your preconceived evolutionary imagination idea on top of these fossils that are found. See, the creationists and the evolutionists are both looking at the same evidence. We both see the fossils. I see that as an example of death. They see that as an example of, wow, that's how we got ahead. All these animals died. Isn't that wonderful? No, that's proof there was a big flood, because fossils just don't normally form except under special conditions, and billions of fossils are found. That's, to me, that's evidence of the Bible. I see it that way.
Is the Big Bang Theory a reasonable scientific theory? Please explain.
This textbook says, after many billions of years, all the matter and energy will once again be packed into a small area. This area will be no larger than the period at the end of this sentence. Then another Big Bang will occur. It happens every 80 to 100 billion years. In Scientific America, Alan Guth says, the observable universe could have evolved from an infinitesimal region. That's a dot. Folks, why would a sentence like this be found in Scientific American? There's nothing scientific about that state. It exhibits incredible faith. But the textbooks teach this dot was spinning. It spun faster and faster. Finally, it exploded. The Big Bang. There are so many problems with the Big Bang. What exploded? Where did the matter come from? Where did the energy come from? Where did the information come from? 4.6 billion years ago, the planet developed a rocky crust. The chemicals got together, you know, blah, blah, blah. Here we are. Exactly what I said earlier. That's what the theory teaches. Now, if he wants to believe that, that's fine. I don't care what you believe. But don't call that science. And don't make me pay to teach that to the rest of these kids in this university. These kids came here to learn some science, not a fairy tale like that.
Dr. Dr. Hovan, the next question will be posed to you. You'll have 7 minutes, and then the evolutionists will have 3 minutes.
How long will it take for us to evolve into a new species? Nothing ever evolves into any new species. Well, I hate to use the word species. So nothing ever evolves into a new kind. Nobody's ever observed anything change to a different kind. Bacteria are still bacteria. If they become resistant to a drug, it's because they lost the locking mechanism on the ribosome, so the antibiotic can't lock on. It's no different than somebody handcuffing everybody, hauling them off to jail to kill them, but you don't have any arms. So they can't handcuff you, so you survive. Wow, beneficial mutation. Bacteria don't evolve into something else. They lose information. They're resistant to a particular drug for a short time, but then you put them back in the population of regular bacteria, and they're inferior. The bacteria are still bacteria, for heaven's sake. That's not an example of evolution. Okay.
What we've been shown today is that we should throw that out, replace it with a spiritual being where we don't have any idea how it is interacting with the material world, and in that complicated system we're supposed to work scientifically. That doesn't make any sense to me. Dr. Hovind offered a general ethical principle that we have an inheritance of sin. I find that abhorrent. Anybody who has seen a baby and has held it in your arms, would you really believe that that is hellbound, that that has inherited sin? It's a most objectionable concept in the name of religion.
He doesn't believe about inherent sin. Well, I happen to have had 3 kids and 2 grandkids, one more due any day. We didn't teach any of them to lie or cheat or steal, but they all just kind of did it automatically. Yes, I think it's quite obvious to anybody that's raised any kids, there is an inherent sin nature. If you think man is inherently good, you're living in la-la land. Man is inherently bad, and he needs a savior. The Bible says the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. I think the evidence for a designer is so obvious all around us. If you're walking through the woods and you find a painting hanging on the tree, and you see no footprints, you see no people, you still conclude there was a painter. If you're walking through the woods and you find a building, and you see no footprints, you see no people, you still conclude there was a builder. When you see a watch, that's proof of a watchmaker. When you see a creation, that's proof of a creator. There had to be a designer. You're going to die one of these days. I'm going to die. Now, fellas, I didn't drive all the way over here and leave my gorgeous wife because I like being gone, okay? I didn't come to win an argument. I came to win you over. Honestly, I would like to see you saved, going to heaven. Maybe you think you are. I don't know. But if you think God used evolution, you have the wrong God. I know you write all kinds of articles for the Atheist magazine, according to your bio here, Jim. And people run from God. People can't find God for the same reason a thief can't find a policeman. I sacrifice my time to travel because people are actually dying and going to hell. I'm really concerned that that really happens. I believe the Bible teaches that. I believe that's literally true. God made this world. He owns it. He makes the rules, and we are guilty of breaking His rules. The God that made this world also came down and said, look, you blew it. You're all sinners. You're all going to hell. However, I still love you, and I still want to forgive you. I'll even die and take your place. You can't beat a deal like that. Now, Romans chapter 1, that which may be known is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. You know there's a designer. Okay, I don't care about all your arguments. You know somebody made this place. The invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so they are without excuse. Judgment day, you're just flat seriously in trouble. God's going to judge this planet. He tells us He's going to have to because man has rejected Him. They thought they were wise, they became fools. And if you believe your grandpa was a rock, you're a fool. Some of my ancestors probably swung by their necks, okay, but none of them swung by their tails. If you think your grandpa was a monkey, I think you're still a fool, but that's okay. You have the right to believe that. You do not, however, have the right to use tax dollars to teach that fairy tale in a public university at taxpayer expense. Now, you guys are not the enemy. I think you're deceived, and it's worse that you're deceiving others if you're teaching this stuff. Okay, that's why I do this. I want to convert people, get them saved. That's why I'm here, okay? I think the scientific evidence is on our side. I think I'm right. It's not because I'm smart. It's because I'm right, and God loves you. He wants to save you and forgive you. See one of these folks afterwards. We'll be glad to help any way we can. Thank you so much.
That's excellent. Our guest has been Dr. Kent Hovan debating 3 science teachers who use arguments for evolution such as how bones are evidence that a cow became a whale over billions of years. That doesn't sound very scientific to me, more like science fiction.
Like a frog turning into a prince. It's an adult fairy tale. That's what evolution is, and it's taught at taxpayers' expense to perpetuate their theory in public schools everywhere. Not to mention museums and everything you see on TV and the internet. It's all billions and billions of years.
Evolution is a given. in schools, museums, and the nature programs on TV. Dr. Kent Hovind uses science to show how creation is proof of a creator using scientific evidence.
The evolutionist arguments for evolution consist of criticism of religion and especially the Bible.
Evolution is not scientific. Evolution is a religion. It's a theory that should not be taught in public schools as science. Not only is evolution taught exclusively, even the arguments against evolution are prohibited. That's called indoctrination, and one of the reasons why so many Christian students lose their faith because of a fairy tale assumed to be science.
If you would like a CD copy of today's program, please ask for number 1820, Debate, Evolution versus Creation, Part 1. That's number 1820, Debate, Evolution versus Creation, Part 1. The CD also includes next week's program, Part 2. And you can order a CD copy of this program from our website. Our website is issuesineducation.org. That's issuesineducation.org. And please give us a call at 928-776-0000. That's 928-776-0000 from Genesis 1, verse 26. And God said, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness." For Issues in Education, this has been Bob and Jerry Boyd.